Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Today we return in our study in 2 Peter. This will be the beginning of a four-part series that will focus mainly on eschatology, the study of the end times. And so my hope is that we will be encouraged to keep living faithfully as believers who wait eagerly for the return of Christ. And so why don't we stand for the reading of God's Word, 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 2. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
The Word of God says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." You may be seated. Let's pray as we get into our text this morning. Lord God, we thank you once again for gathering us here to hear from you, from your word. Lord, we pray you give me clarity of speech. We ask, Lord, that you will convict us. Holy Spirit, illuminate those that do not know you. Lord, we pray that you will give us that concern in your word that we see here when discussing about the end times, about your return. And so please, Lord, be with us, guide us, help us to apply what we learned today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's around 1901 BC. Angels have come to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they inform Lot of this imminent destruction of the city. And they tell him to warn his relatives. Lot listens to the angels, but his sons-in-laws treat his word as a joke. But even Lot, we see, is slow to grasp the seriousness of this situation. We read in Genesis 19:6 that he hesitated. And so the angels, what did they have to do? They had to bring him and his family out of the city. The angels gave Lot and his family specific instructions. They said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." Did you catch that? The angel said, "Do not look behind you." Fast forward a couple of verses in Genesis. When the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire, we read in verse 26, "But Lot's wife from behind him looked back, and as she became a pillar of salt." Lot's wife did not heed the warning. Beloved, today we have a message of warning. We need these type of messages because we often drift from the truth and we walk closely to the cliff of foolishness. And once we fall off the cliff of foolishness, we're in this pit of heresy and false doctrine. And so my prayer is that this message wakes you up to remember the return. Let me remind you of where we are in 2 Peter. We just finished a lengthy chapter about false teachers. We learned that false teachers are destructive deniers who will deceive many. They are depraved wolves who are arrogant and adulterous. They are dirty pigs who are foolish frauds, and they will be condemned by the just judge. We know they will be judged because of those examples Peter gave us in Scripture. Remember? He spoke about the fallen angels. He spoke about the flood. He spoke about the fire. Sinners who do not repent will not escape God's wrath. And so in chapter 2, I told you, I want you to picture yourself in a debate room. Remember, Peter's on one side with the Old Testament prophets and the apostles. And then on the other side, we have the false teachers and their lies. One has the word of God, one does not. Now in chapter 3, I want you to picture yourself getting lunch with Peter. The debate is on pause, you know how they have that break. And it's just you and Peter now. And Peter shifts from explaining his examples of the coming judgment to exhorting his audience to wake up about the coming judgment. It's like Peter's looking at you right in the eyes. He has his hand on your shoulder, and he's not even blinking. He's looking at you, and he's telling you, wake up. And so this message is going to sound very familiar, because he's going to focus again on the judgment to come and rescue. But this time, he will not only give us examples of the past, He will also point us to the future. So, in other words, he's going to progress from historical facts to speaking about the future heavens and earth. False teachers are still on Peter's mind. But remember, his concern is not if they will repent, but rather that we are protected from their false ways. He has made it clear that false teachers are not to be trusted because they have turned their backs on God. They are rejecting his word. On the other hand, the Old Testament prophets and the apostles have faithfully preached God's word. And so we can trust in the word of God. And so in this text, we will examine and answer three questions, consider two truths to remember, and discuss two applications that teach us how to properly remember the return. Now, there's a lot we can choose to remember, right? The good memories, maybe how to play a beautiful piece of music, or to spend time with our family, and that's all good things to do. But let's not forget what life is all about. May we seek to remember our Lord, that he will return, and in the meantime, we ought to live holy lives to the praise of God. This will be the goal as Peter ends his letter. He wants us to be motivated to keep going, to walk faithfully, to be godly, and not be deceived by the lies of the false teachers. And so this brings us to our first question. Why do we need to be called to remember? Look at verse 1 again. I'll read it. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Why do we need to be called to remember? This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. This is Peter's second letter. Clearly, the first letter was not enough to encourage and motivate his audience to live holy lives before the return of Christ in Peter's mind. Why do you need to write another letter of warning, Peter? Because Peter knows that no Christian can ever be so secure in his or her faith as to pass beyond the need of exhortation to holy thinking and living. It's similar to what we have been learning in our church membership class. Why should I be a member of a local church? Because I know I'm weak. I need others to keep me accountable. And Peter knows the importance of reminders. He and the other disciples were told three times by Jesus that the Christ would suffer and die and on the third day be risen. And so repetition is helpful to teach sheep. Remember, beloved, we are sheep. And so what is the answer to our first question? Why do we need to be called to remember? Because we forget God's promises. We can be dumb sheep who go astray from the good shepherd. We are weak and can easily be attacked by wolves. That is why it's so important that we keep listening to the shepherd's voice. God has made promises in his word, and we may choose to be distracted by the world and its problems that we are facing and forget about God. And so Peter knows that he is weak. He used to think he was strong. If you remember the gospel accounts, he was boasting that he will never deny Jesus. But most of us remember that Peter denied Jesus three times. We know that he wasn't a super Christian. There is no such thing. Peter was a sinner saved by grace, and so are we. And we need to realize that we are weak. Just think about all the times that you have denied Jesus every time you've sinned. And so let's be real. Many times we worry about our lives and forget God's promises. And so Peter writes to the weak. He calls them, what does he say there in the text? Beloved. A title he has used before in his first letter. A reminder that God's love doesn't change. We observe in this word, beloved, Peter's pastoral concern for the flock. He first addressed them with a reminder of God's love for them. Look at verse 1 of 2 Peter, first chapter. He says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's addressing them and he's saying, you received a faith the same kind of ours. God has shown his love to you in the fact that he has granted faith to you and he's imputed the righteousness of Christ into your account. Oh, what mercy. You are loved by God. We are part of the family in which God in love predestined us with adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. And so yes, we are weak, but we are loved. He has chosen us. And he used Peter to write a second letter to remind us of that and much more. And so here we see a couple of similarities between Peter's two letters. And so I'm going to give you some of those and then the purpose for both letters. So the similarities. Like 2 Peter, 1 Peter appeals to the authority of prophets and apostles. He also makes much of Noah's salvation. He makes the passion and ascension historically fundamental. And he often stresses the second coming of Christ as central significance in apostolic tradition. Okay, so we see a lot of similarities between both letters. And what about the purpose? The purpose of 2 Peter is like that of 1 Peter, to remind his readers to live holy lives worthy of the gospel and to recall the end time prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. Peter writes the letters to wake us up. Peter knows about sleep. Remember, he had to be awakened by Jesus 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so he wants us to be alert. He knows that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so his goal is to stir us up. Peter has this duty to wake up his brothers in Christ. And so just imagine for a second a commander in war. He has to wake up the soldiers from time to time. It's this huge responsibility. And this serves as a reminder to all elders. They are to reach out to the flock to make sure they are spiritually awake. The last thing any elder would want to witness is the devil devouring a sheep to pieces. And so we need to be reminded of the pure word for our minds to be pure, for our faith to stand in all the trials. And that is why it's so crucial to call to each other's mind the scriptures. A commentator, he writes this, "It is not then enough that men should be taught to know what they ought to be. But there is a need of godly teachers to do this second part, which is deeply to impress the truth on the memory of their hearers." And so ask yourself this. Do you have leaders in your life that feed you the word? Are you part of a local church that values the word of God? Peter goes on to say what he is stirring up or waking up. You can go back to 2 Peter 3. He says he is waking up your sincere mind. John Calvin writes, "The apostle evidently admits that they had a sincere or a pure mind, that is, freed from pollutions referred to in the last chapter. But still, they are in need of being stirred up by admonitions. Hence, their minds were not, in a strict sense, perfect, though sincere." I like how MacArthur explains this word here, sincere. It means uncontaminated, unmixed by the seductive influences of the world, flesh, and the devil. Peter has already stated his goal is to stir them up. Look with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verses 12 to 15. Again, he said this before. If you remember when we talked about faith stirred, look at 2 Peter 1, verses 12 to 15. We see in verse 12 that Peter was ready to remind his audience of how to grow spiritually, even though they already knew how. This should remind us of our first question, and that we are weak and we may forget God's promises. Again, Peter believed his audience were true believers, and so he sought to impress on his readers the truth they already knew so that their spiritual discernment would be able to detect and refute false doctrine. But beloved, like all believers, it happens to us. We may know the truth, but that doesn't mean we never forget the truth. And we will need reminders even if we've been established in the truth, like verse 12 was saying there. Now in verse 13, we learned that Peter is determined, right? He's determined to stir or wake us up, and he wants us to recall what he stated about spiritual growth. He knows our minds will need to be awakened. And so look with me to verse 5 of chapter 1. Let's be reminded. Look at 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 7. It reads, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. And so, beloved, how are you doing? Do you have a sincere mind? Do you have a pure mind? Beloved, if we're honest with ourselves, it may be from time to time we go from spiritual nap to spiritual nap. We may be sleeping right now. Spiritually, are you awake? Are you all in for Jesus? And we should be different from those false apostate teachers who are so corrupt. They have these eyes full of adultery. We should have eyes full of purity. We should be springs full of water, refreshing, encouraging. We should have a heart trained in godliness, in generosity, not in greed. So verse 1 of 2 Peter 3 ends with that phrase that Peter used earlier here in verses 12 to 15. By way of reminder, even mature believers need to be reminded of the truth. They need to make sure or be certain of God's calling and choosing of them. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But on the flip side here, verse 9 says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. And so Peter's concerned about them not finishing the race, that they may forget the gospel. Which brings us back to our first question yet again. Why do we need to be reminded of the truth? We can forget God's promises. We are weak. Calvin writes, the minds of the godly become dim and, as it were, contract rust when admonitions cease. In other words, even if we know a lot about the word, we can still become drowsy unless we are stirred up by constant warnings. Let me give you this illustration. Maybe you've done this at your home recently. You've changed a light bulb, okay? It was flickering, and you know, okay, this has maybe a week or two, whatever, and now it's not even shiny. You go in Home Depot, and you go get that new light bulb, and you change it. Well, picture yourself as a light that starts to flicker. We need others to point it out. Your light isn't shining as bright as it should be right now, beloved. The darkness of sin is taking over. We need to be pointed to the light that always shines. He is the great electrician. He can fix the breakers of our minds. He can illuminate our hearts. And if our light grows dim, we can turn to him. There's another way of reminding yourself of that need of accountability. Here's another illustration. And you guys know when you're crossing those those railroad tracks, right? We have these railroad crossing lights. They're good warnings for us. Imagine if we didn't have those lights. Sin is like that train that's coming our way. If we are not alert or on the watch for the warning lights, that crash will be great. And so Christians need warning lights. They need reminders of basic truth because they can never outgrow the need for such reminders. But remembering these truths involves more than just the mental act of recalling what has once been learned. It is this dynamic process of applying the truths to the new situations and problems that the believer confronts. And so, yes, there's going to be the train that's going to come our way. Sin is just knocking at our door, and it's ready to overtake us. We must not allow it to be our master. If you think about Cain and how he did not listen to God in that regard. And so we need to remember the truth, but apply the truth. In other words, for Peter, thinking is more than just a purely mental process. It includes the ability to discern spiritual truth and apply it. And so, beloved, do you consider the warnings? Are you ignoring all the warning signs? Have you been forgetful? Many of us forget people's names, dentist appointments, but what about the Word? Have you forgotten about God's promises, His return? Have you focused so much about life on this earth and have forgotten about eternity? This brings us to our second question. What do we need to remember? What do we need to remember? Look at verse 2 of 2 Peter 3, our last verse for today. 2 Peter 3, verse 2, that you should remember, here it is, the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. So what do we need to remember? The quick answer is God has a plan. God has a plan. God is strong, and He has given us two truths to remember. They are predictions and a precept. In our verse, Peter calls them the words spoken by the prophets and the commandment of the Lord spoken by the apostles. And so the short answer to her question, why or what do we need to remember? We need to remember God's word. But given our context, we know Peter is specifically telling us to remember the return that is promised in the word. And so let's consider the first truth in verse 2. We need to remember the predictions. Peter wants us to remember the words spoken or the predictions spoken in the past by the holy prophets. To help you remember this point, remember this statement here. And I'm going to give you three statements that I want you to remember. This is the first one. I need to remember the Old Testament predictions spoken by the prophets. I'll say it again. I need to remember the Old Testament predictions spoken by the prophets. Peter calls them holy prophets. They are not like the false teachers. They spoke God's word faithfully. We learn in 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21, that God's word was written down by these prophets, and they warned about the coming judgment and the coming of the Lord. And so I want to give you four examples from Scripture just to observe this point. So turn with me to Isaiah 24. So we'll just look at some Old Testament verses here. What are you talking about? The coming of the Lord and the coming judgment? Yes, we see it in the Old Testament. Look at Isaiah 24, 19 to 23. I'll read from 21 to 23 here. So it will happen in that day that the Lord will punish the host of heaven on high and the kings of the earth on earth. They will be gathered together like prisoners in a dungeon and will be confined in prison. And after many days, they will be punished. And here it is. Then the moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. His glory will be before his elders. So that's one, looking at some prophets here. Go to Micah chapter 1. So we see it in Isaiah, this coming judgment. What about Micah? Micah 1, 3 to 4. I'll read it for you. For behold, the Lord is coming forth from his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will be split like wax before the fire, like water poured down a steep place. And so you see this scary imagery of what's to come, this judgment to come. One more in Malachi. Malachi, the book right before Matthew. Malachi 4, verses 1 to 3, talking about the coming judgment. We see it in the Old Testament. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And that day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You would tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Again, this is to come, a future prophecy of the end times. Lastly, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 6 to 9. Where do we see all this end times language, this judgment to come in the Old Testament? We see it everywhere, especially in the prophets. But here we'll give you one more. Zechariah 14, 6 to 9. In that day there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle. For it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord. neither day nor night, but it will come about at an evening time there will be a light. And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, and the other half towards the western sea. It will be in the summer as well as in the winter. And here it is. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. And so all of these scriptures point us to the fact that God used prophets to warn about the coming judgment. We need to remember what the holy prophets have said. These predictions will come true. And so, yes, we do need to remember the Old Testament. We have many false teachers today that say, you know what? Forget the Old Testament. That God in the Old Testament was evil. You know, God's all about love. Beloved, we need to remember all of God's word. God has much to teach us in the Old Testament. And Peter mainly has in mind the coming judgment and the return of Christ. And so, question for you is, do you know what God has said in the Old Testament? Have you read the Old Testament? Do you still read it regularly? Are you encouraged by all its promises? Or are you sleeping on the Old Testament? Do you only want to read the New Testament? Beloved, we need to remember the predictions. This will encourage us and help us to be focused and alert on earth. An example of a believer who did this was Daniel. Daniel observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem. And so like Daniel, we should seek the scriptures. We should study and apply what we learn in the Old Testament. We can learn a lot from the book of Leviticus. We can learn a lot from the book of Hosea. We can learn a lot from the book of Lamentations. There is much we can remember. Just name any book in the Old Testament. So we should remember the predictions. And the second truth we should remember is the precept or commandment of the Lord spoken by the apostles. Now, to help you remember this point, I want you to remember the following statement. So this is the second statement I really want you to remember. First one was about remembering the Old Testament. This one here is, I need to remember the New Testament precept spoken by the proclaimers. Those proclaimers are the apostles, men sent by God to preach and teach the word. These are the men we listen to, not the false teachers. And we should remember what they said about the gospel. They had much to say about the commandment of our Lord and Savior. This commandment or law is referring to the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 states, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Beloved, we are nothing without the gospel. If we forget the sacrifice of Christ for our sins, we will dive right back into sin like the false teachers did. One way we remember this sacrifice is by taking part of the Lord's Supper. We reflect on what Christ did for us there. We should also preach the gospel to ourselves daily. We need to remember this precept. We are not like the false teachers who turn away from the holy commandment which was handed down to them. Remember, what did they do during the Lord's Supper? They abused it. They were greedy, and they used that time of fellowship to spread their lies. We know at the end of chapter 2 in 2 Peter, what does Peter say about them? They return to their own vomit. But as true believers, we aim to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul told Timothy. And so Peter's point in verse 2 is not that we just know the commandment of the Lord by heart, but that we do it with all our hearts. We listen and we obey. And so ask yourself, are you living out the gospel? You know that Christ died for you. Are you willing to die for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Peter wants us to be holy until his return. And God used Peter and the apostles to prepare us for his return. Instead of having transmitted the cleverly devised myths like the false teachers, the apostles are successors to the old prophets, and they passed on the gospel. MacArthur writes, the apostles of Christ filled the 260 chapters of the New Testament with about 300 references to the second coming. New Testament revelation about the Christ coming to gather his own, warning about end times judgment, and information about the establishment of the kingdom, and teaching concerning God bringing in eternal righteousness are the irrefutable proofs for the second coming and the judgment of the wicked. And so just read the Bible, read Revelation, read Matthew, read James. There is much in the New Testament about the end times. I want to give you one example from the Word that recently encouraged me. I'm telling you, if you just go through the Bible in a year, you're going to read references about the end times. So I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. We see much about the judgment to come, and we see much about the return of Christ. If you got it, say amen. 2 Thessalonians, look at verses 6 to 10 here. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Keeps going here. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, talking about the judgment of unbelievers, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you actually obey the gospel. Verse 9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of our Lord and from the glory of his power. And lastly, verse 10. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. This is the word of God. There's much about his return. There's much about the judgment to come. And so I asked you about the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Have you read the whole Bible? What are some scriptures from the New Testament that you can name that refer to the second coming of Christ? And so, beloved, we need to get into the Word. We don't need any new times, new end times teaching or some guy's vision on YouTube and he's talking about the, you know, second coming of Christ. What do we need? We need to remember what has already been spoken. The Bible is enough for our end times theology. And you want to talk about the end times? Okay, quote me a verse. Quote me a verse if you want to talk about the end times. One last observation that we can make from our text before our applications is the similarity with Jude. If you turn a couple books to your right, to Jude chapter 1, verse 17, it says there, very similar fashion, and we'll see this next week as we continue. Jude 17 says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." He also had a lengthy discussion about false teachers. And so here we're reminded again not to listen to the false teachers and their new teachings about the end times. We'll see it next week. Where's this promise of the coming? You see, Christ hasn't come back. But rather, we ought to look to what the apostles have written and how God used them to deliver the truth about the end times. And so Peter and Jude are both warning about the judgment to come. And the truth is, yes, there is a coming judgment. Jesus is coming back soon. Which brings us to our last question. How do we remember the return? How do we remember the return? I have two ways or applications that I want you to remember. The first application is to prepare by meditating and memorizing Scripture. To prepare by meditating and memorizing God's Word. And so don't forget what Christ has done for you and what he has promised that he will do. He will surely return. And so what was the last time you meditated on the second coming of Christ? It should bring you joy if you're a believer. It should also help you to remember that God's judgment is near. And so we should go and preach the gospel. We'll get into that in the second application. We should also memorize God's word because it helps us to stand firm in the trials of life. You know, I was recently encouraged by my daughter who took part in the Bible Bee. She and other children got up in front of the church and they quoted scripture from memory. And I was motivated by them to also go and memorize some verses. Beloved, we need to realize we're never at a place where we just stop in our effort to memorize scripture. We need more of the Word in our daily life. And so how do you spend your free time? Beloved, if you're not memorizing Scripture, you're missing out. You're missing out. I like this quote from Charles Spurgeon. He's remarking about John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress. He actually read Pilgrim's Progress 100 times. You know, we barely get maybe almost one time with Sophia now. This is what he says. Why this man, about John Bunyan, is a living Bible. Prick him anywhere, his blood is bibline. The very essence of the Bible flows from him. He cannot speak without quoting a text, for his very soul is full of the Word of God. I commend his example to you, beloved. Do you bleed bibline? The football game can wait. Get in the Word. Devour it, or the devil will devour you. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so, beloved, we ought to memorize the Scripture. Amen? So moving on to the second point of application here. We know that the time is short. Christ is near. And so what are we to do? We ought to prepare by memorizing Scripture, but also to persevere in worship and work. To persevere in worship and work to bring God glory. Christ is coming soon, but he isn't here yet. He hasn't come back. Which means we have much work to do. May we see our need to preach the gospel to the lost world. Jude, he says, to save others, snatching them out of the fire. Beloved, we have the only thing that can save them from the judgment to come. And so we tell others the good news. And don't be a hypocrite when you tell it. Live a holy life. May we present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. If we remember these two applications, we will be ready for the return. And so the question really is, will you? Will you prepare and persevere? In conclusion, let me remind you of our questions and answers, because I want to make sure you remember, right? After all, we tend to forget. So number one, why do we need to be called to remember? We forget God's promises. We are weak. We need to be reminded because we tend to fall asleep spiritually and fail to hear and obey God's word. Number two, what do we need to remember? God has a plan. He is strong. We need to remember the predictions spoken by the prophets and the precepts spoken by the apostles. And number three, how do we remember? We prepare by meditating and memorizing God's word. And we persevere in worship and work to bring God glory. So, beloved, you've been warned. Please do not ignore this message. Let me give you one last statement to remember. I told you those other two to remember, right? Remember the Old Testament, remember the New Testament. Here's another one you have to remember, last one. Remember Lot's wife. I want you to turn with me in our last scripture here. Go to Luke 17. Luke 17. In a discussion with his disciples about the second coming, Jesus made this important statement. He wants us to remember this. Look at Luke 17, verses 22 to 37. If you got it, say amen. It reads, "And he said to the disciples, 'The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by his generation.'" Verse 26. "And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given into marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, and they were planting, and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. so will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Here's the statement. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that day, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken and the other one will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. And then the disciples have this question. And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." And so Jesus said to remember Lot's wife. You remember at the beginning we mentioned this? Lot's wife didn't listen to the words of God's messengers. Remember the angels? They said not to look back, and she did. Will you listen to the words of the prophets and the apostles that we have in God's words? Will you listen? Beloved, you have decided to follow Jesus, which means no turning back. No turning back. And so you can sing with confidence, "Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back." Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this reminder because we need it. Lord, we are so weak, we don't even see how weak we are. Pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, humble us. Show us how much we need you. And Lord, we thank you that you provide by your grace the word that we need. And so help us never to forget